We're here at podtech.net with Robert Thomas, the CEO of Infoblox. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John.
You're also the senior executive and CEO at NetScreen with Feng Deng.
That's
right. Also an investor of PodTech.
Yes.
Full disclosure here.
Must be a smart guy.
I do. We do a lot of work with Juniper, and the NetScreen firewalls are by far the best SSL VPN product out there. All these IT guys just swear by it. So I think you brought a lot of happy IT people with that.
Good. Delighted to hear it.
The NetScreen guy. So what's it like being a CEO these days? I mean, obviously you had a great career and continue to do that here at Infoblox, one of the fastest growing startups here in Silicon Valley, making a product that, you know, is fundamental and really is an absolute for anyone who's got any reliance on the internet, DNS and DHCP, and expanding their infrastructure and security. How do you do it? What's it like these days?
I think the first thing I'd tell you is it's much better being CEO of a public company, a private company, than a public company, with all the stuff that's going on with Sarbanes-Oxley and option pricing and all kinds of things. It's great not to be a public company.
So is there a secret? Do that. Private companies go public, sell it, and go private again?
I don't know. You know, there are a few public companies who are thinking of going private again for all those kind of reasons. I know it's pretty exciting being a CEO of a company. You don't get opportunities too often to do that. It's a little bit scary because I think if things get screwed up, then the buck does stop here, and you kind of worry a little bit about people's jobs and investors' money and
your responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility.
I think it's more than the fiduciary responsibility. You know, we got a couple of hundred people in Infoblox, and if we go belly up, there are 200 families that don't have an income anymore, and we have investors who have put $30 or $40 million into us, actually a bit more than that, and if we go belly up, they lose it. And we have customers who are using our products every day of their lives, and if we go belly up, no one supports them. So, you know, I think you got to think about those things. It's not, you know, day-to-day we don't. Day-to-day we think about how do we get to the next revenue goal, how do we get the next product out the door. But you got to think about, you know, the responsibility you have to a lot of people in the world. And, you know, I think that's scary but good, because when you have a good product and people use it, and when you have customers buying it, and when you have a company that's successful, you make a lot of people happy. Well, so that's the good side of the job.
We'll get to the bad side in a minute. No, it's all good. Now, you've been very successful, obviously, you know, taking companies public and getting a good outcome, as the VCs would say. But you're working, you know, here with Infoblox, with Sequoia Capital, one of the best Silicon Valley venture capital firms over there, great partnership. You have a great management team, technical team here. You've been in high growth, early stage. What do you think is the success formula, and if you look at that and say, you know, is it motivating people? From your perspective, what's your view there for folks out there that are starting companies and future CEOs out there?
Well, you know, I think it's pretty easy on the surface. Execution becomes everything. But, you know, it's pretty easy on the surface, I think. And I think there are three or four things that give a company the opportunity to become successful. I think the first thing is you've got to have a product in a market that has got some kind of opportunity. You can have the best bit of technology in the world, but if the potential sales opportunity is $20 million or $40 million or $100 million around the world for that technology, you're never going to build a decent company around it because the market just isn't big enough. So you've got to have a market. Even if you're an early pioneer in a market, you've got to know it's going to grow to some size with a $1 billion sign in front of it for you to have any kind of reasonable business, I think. I think the second thing is, you know, it's such an old cliche and sounds terrible, but it is all about the people. I think, you know, if you do no other job as a manager or a CEO than hire the best people you can, stick to the discipline of not hiring dopes, and if you do hire the occasional dope, which we all do far and fast, but sticking with hiring the very best people you can, you know, the job becomes much easier after that. So, you know, it sounds so cliche-ish, but it's really true. And I think we did that at NetScreen. We were kind of absolutely focused and disciplined about not filling a job unless we got someone who we thought was an A-plus player, even if it stayed open for 6 months, and even if everyone else had to do a bit more work than they normally should, we just wouldn't fill that job until we got A-plus players.
But that means someone's got to work harder. I mean, it's always like, we got to fill this spot, and it requires buy-in from everybody. How do you get everyone rowing in the right direction? Because that's a lot of sacrifice, and it's kind of creates tension. How do people stay with the tension? How do you keep them motivated?
I don't think you keep people motivated. I think they motivate themselves. And what you've got to do is offer an environment where they can be motivated. So, for example, hiring in a startup is different from hiring at Sun. I worked at Sun for a long time, and there's a different profile of person. So the kind of person you want to hire in a startup is someone who really believes they can change the world, really believes it. You know, not I'm going to come to work from 9 to 5 every day and do a great job and get a pay increase everywhere. You've got to have people who believe in changing things. You know, little companies can change things. I think NetScreen was a 30-person company when I joined it, and at the end of the day, we were bigger than Check Point, the market leader in firewalls. We had more revenue than them when Juniper acquired us. So
still continuing, the firewall still is the best.
Yeah, and you can only do that because there's a group of people who come along and get enthusiastic about changing the world. And so you've got to provide an environment where they can get enthusiastic. You have to have some decent technology they can work on. You have to have people who can go out and sell some of it. Some engineers see their product being bought and they say, that's fantastic, I'll work on the next one. But it's self-generating and it comes from within. So I think providing an environment with a decent product.
And the
product,
right people, the right profile.
Yeah. And it feeds off itself because you hire half a dozen people who are enthusiastic, you hire the next three and they kind
contagious.
Of get caught up in the momentum.
Yeah. And they cover each other, so it kind of eases the tension on that productivity piece. Course correction. Obviously, you're known for execution. Obviously, track record is phenomenal. And you're doing it here at Infoblox in a great way. How do you, in the execution mode, you can get caught up in the details. You can be so focused on execution. But good CEOs like yourself adjust. How do you manage that? How do you address it? How do you sense it? And what's your advice for CEOs around adjusting and changing the sales or tacking differently, if you will?
Well, I think two basic things. We will all make mistakes on product from time to time, not get it quite right. We'll make mistakes on market from time to time, not get it quite right. And it's easy to be ivory towerish about it and say, well, let's all sit in the conference room and work out what the next market is or what the next product is. It doesn't work very well. You can come up with great ideas. I think listening to customers tell you what they think of your product and what they think of market segments is important, and listening to people in the company can tell you what you're doing wrongly and what you're doing right. And I think, when things are going wrongly, when revenue isn't where it should be, and, to be honest, Infoblox had a couple of quarters, probably four quarters back, where we were fairly flat and we didn't grow for a couple of quarters. And, I don't think I came up with any rocket science to fix that, and I don't think any guys on the management team did either. I think we looked at what our customers were telling us, and we listened to what the people who were making the product were telling us, and we made some adjustments, and some things we just did differently. And
sometimes we just don't do anything. Sometimes the best move is not to move.
Yeah, sometimes. But you've got to do those things quickly. I think once you realize there's something wrong, getting to the cause of the problem fast and then taking the action fast are the two most important things to do. Because if you let things, it's like firing someone. Someone's not doing their job, waiting 90 days to see if it's going to get better doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
There's either the opportunity for that person to do well quickly, or there's the opportunity for that person to go and get a job somewhere else where they do well quickly. And making those decisions fast, I think, is important.
So, that's great stuff. It's always hard to build a big business. You've done it. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that listen to PodTech, and some have no experience.
But I wouldn't say I've done it. It's not that. And it goes back to hiring the best people. The CEO's job is the easiest job in the world if you just hire the right eight or nine people.
Yeah.
And if you hire the right eight or nine people, they go and hire the right eight or nine people.
So all your employees are going to get listen to this copy and say, he's got the best job. It is fun.
I think that's right. No company is successful because of an individual. It's only successful because a whole group of people believed in it. And it just comes down to hiring. You've got to hire the best people, and if you do that, a lot of the things take care of themselves.
You mentioned NetScreen in the early days. You were the 30th employee. You work at Sequoia and some of the top VCs. What do you see these days in terms of startups? Anything different from when you were back at NetScreen? Has the environment changed in terms of fundamentally? And what advice would you have for a budding entrepreneur out there listening?
I think the VC environment has changed a lot. When the bubble burst, they all shrunk back into their shells for a couple of years and made safe investments, and not a lot of them. Gradually they're coming out of that mode, I think. But I think, at least I see at places like Sequoia and some of the other VCs, they're still extremely cautious about and what they're going to invest in and what they're not going to invest in. There's a lot more money around. A lot of these guys have just closed big funds, and there's, you know, $2 or $3 or $4 billion floating around now to invest, but they're still somewhat cautious. So I think, you know, to get a VC to take notice, I think they invest in two things, really. They invest in a technology idea that they think's got a decent market for it, and they invest in the people that are around that technology idea. So again, it comes back to people again.
Yeah.
Getting the right, an entrepreneur with just a technology idea is going to get very little money, maybe $500,000 to go and play with it. To get any serious money, there has to be three or four people that a VC will believe can deliver, and a technology that they believe will grow into a decent market over 3 years, and nothing much more than that. Yeah. No one's investing in 10-year opportunities anymore.
Yeah. And they, you know, there's got to be a market there. It just comes down to people.
Yeah.
Final question on for you on this topic. Sales. Revenue is all about the engine of life with companies. Start from a startup, getting the first client to growing business. How what advice can you give folks out there, and how you approach the customers? And you mentioned listening to them, obviously, is key for navigating. Obviously, customers feed the company. We also have engineering who's striving for feature set. How do you balance that, and what advice do you give folks out there?
Well, I think in the very early stages of a company, the first 10 customers are absolutely key and important. And I think investing in getting the first 10 customers that are worthwhile is worth a lot of money. So I think, in my view, in a very, very early stage company, it's not about revenue, it's not about profit, it's all about a group of customers that you can go and use to get the next 100. So focusing on, you know, 10 really great customers that you can win in the early days is...
Those lighthouse really customers that bring the other ships in.
Yeah. And you know, and they don't have to be Fortune 100, they can be, you know, Fortune 2000, as long as they're the right group of customers. And then I think, you know, you've got to see sales increment quarter over quarter over quarter. That's what startups do. Be prepared for the odd road bump where you're going to have a down quarter or two, because it happens to everyone. But the greatest asset a company has, I think, once you start to sell, is its customer base. Because they will tell you very, very forcefully and directly what's wrong with the product and what's right with it. They'll tell you what they want to see in it and what they don't want to see in it. Now, they won't always be right, but if you have a decent critical mass of customers, 10, 20, 30, that's why that first 10 is also important, you start to get a sense for where you want to go. So listening to customers and making sure that you let them have an influence on where you're going to go is really important.
It's a partnership, yeah.
Yeah.
And look at Infoblox, your product's morphed significantly. You have a grid approach. It really makes a lot of sense for customers, and just it helps them expand and secure. I mean, I think that's key. Great, great example. Well, thanks so much for the podcast. Robert Thomas, the CEO of Infoblox, involved in NetScreen, 30th employee, CEO of NetScreen, very famous company in the networking area, sold to Juniper for, what was the amount? $4 billion?
Yeah, $4.2 billion, I think, when we sold.
Dang yourself. And was it Yan Ki?
Yan Ki,
the investor? It's a very big success story, and bringing it back to Infoblox here. Congratulations.
Thanks, John. Pleasure to be here.